This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Hey, y'all. This is Angelica Elizabeth Andrade from the North Texas Dream Team, and we are out here in Paris, Texas, supporting the families. We are participating in a march with the community, along with Raices, Cosecha, and several other orgs and community members, faith leaders. And we're going to be out here. We're marching right now.
And those dreamers are dreaming, and they are marching for equal rights and justice. They are marching for full equality against the backdrop of, darn you, ICE, who terrorizes immigrant women workers, arresting more than 280 in the largest workplace raid in a decade, leaving families and communities absolutely devastated. More than 280 predominantly women immigrant workers were detained after a workplace raid on an electronics repair company in Texas. The raid was the largest since Trump took office with a pledge to crack down on illegal immigration.
The operation in Allen, Texas, a suburb of Dallas, evoked strong reactions as families rushed to the site of the raid. Protesters gathered outside an ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement office, and immigrant advocacy groups condemned the operation for throwing families' lives into turmoil in a matter of hours.
And we speak now with Felix Villalobos, managing attorney of Raices, the largest immigrant legal service provider in Texas, and Maria Yoslima Garcia, president of North Texas Dream Team. Thank you both for being with us. I am angry. How many ways can these plutocrats, can these members really of the alt-right separate families and use immigrant labor, immigrant workers to further their own ultra-right reactionary agenda? So I've said it, so there. But more importantly, you folks are living it down in Texas. 280 mostly women in the largest workplace raid rounded up. Why don't we begin with Felix Villalobos, managing attorney of Raices, to tell us exactly what happened on that fateful day. And thank you both so much for joining with us at this very painful time.
Well, thank you, first of all, for giving us the opportunity to share this information and really help others understand what is going on, because I think it's very important to understand, to bring it down on an individual level, what a person must feel like when they're put through something like this. As far as we have learned, it really seemed that after about a year's worth of investigation between the company and ICE through this ICE raid, it started with a review employment documents. None of the employees were ever aware of this investigation. None of them were aware of what was going on. They simply found out when ICE busted in through the doors, yelled, "Police, ICE, don't move," which prompted fear in everybody that was in the two businesses that were raided. In the description that we have heard from people that we have consulted with, people that were in the raid, that were detained, they really felt like if they were in a situation of shock or not knowing what to do, their mind blanking is one way they described it, because they had never been through something like this before. They didn't know what to do. They were simply in shock. They were surrounded by officers in full gear that was basically corralling them and rounding them up and grouping them and asking them questions or telling them what to do. And it was a very stressful situation for a person in any kind of situation like that. So it was very hard for them to understand what was going on, first of all, and then just simply being grouped around, you can just sense that they had an air of fear because they just did not know what was going on. There was nothing to really tell them what the steps were going to be after that.
And who are these women? Where do they live? Where do they come from? How long have they worked there?
So there's a wide variety. From our understanding, there were any from some that had recently arrived to the United States for a year or maybe more. There were others that have been here for more than 20 years. So there was a great variety, including nationalities. Also, many Venezuelans, those from Mexico, some from Nigeria, Peruvians, just a wide variety of women that sought to look for work to provide for their families here in the United States and those back in their home country to provide financial support. And that's what they were doing. They were working and providing support for others.
Would you say that these women, many of them, if not most of them, were already deeply entrenched in the community, had been living there, had been productive and constructive members of that community, and indeed long-term workers, many of them?
Most of them were. One woman that I consulted with today, this morning, had been in the United States for over 20 years, had been working at this company for a really long time, and unfortunately in her personal situation, as far as the immigration court and what her possibilities were going to be to fight and win her case, they were extremely low. And she couldn't fathom to understand why, as long as she had been in the United States, paying her taxes and working and providing financially for her family back in her home country in Mexico, she wasn't going to be able to stay in the United States and fight her case. And I had to explain to her, well, unfortunately, under the current immigration laws, that's not given that much credit. And her entire life that she's been in the United States, she's lived here for more than 20 years, has been involved in her community, has taken care of her nieces and nephews, and that she described that multiple times, and they depended on her. She provided for them financially here in the United States and was also sending money back to her mother and her siblings back home. But unfortunately, in immigration law, that's not enough to let you stay in the United States. And she was having a very hard time. She was crying through most of the consultation this morning, feeling that, you know, she was contributing, yet at the end of the day, when she gets immigration court, she's probably going to be ordered deported.
Well, we're going to come back later to what's going to be happening with these mostly women and also with the question of what we should be doing about this very harsh immigration law that affects immigrants in this country. But let's bring Maria into the country because the Dream Team responded immediately and had a demonstration that day in Allen, Texas. So why don't you pick up from there, Maria?
Hi, both Ken and Mimi. Thank you for having me on the line today. Just to echo on some of the statements that Felix said, I'll touch base on that a little later. But the North Texas Dream Team essentially is a group here that came to fruition after the Dream Act was, you know, lost its votes in 2010, so we've just been a very active organization when it comes to immigration policy and immigrant issues. As far as, like, the work that we've done, we've been at the forefront for defending current policy in the state of Texas that gives in-state tuition to Dreamers, that also grants state aid to Dreamers. We've also been at the forefront whenever comprehensive immigration reform was on the line. Currently, right now, we are advocating for the Dream and Promise Act. So we've been lobbying elected officials both locally and nationally, and that's the kind of work that we've been doing. But also, we also want to defend our immigrant communities, not just in North Texas, but wherever we can go, especially with these past attacks that we've seen with the workplace raids. We are coming from, you know, a recent raid that had just happened in Paris, Texas, which is where that voice clip comes from, right? That's where our community outreach coordinator was out there along with a lot of our volunteers in Paris, Texas, which that was a workplace raid, kind of similar, but if anything, smaller, but still, right? We've seen that they always target these very small suburb areas of Texas to, you know, hold these types of raids. And whenever we heard about, you know, not just Paris, but what happened in Allen, we were quick to, a lot of us, right, drop what we had. This is an organization, NTDT, that is very grassroots-led and volunteer-led. We don't have any paid staff, and we, you know, these are, it's comprised of individuals who really align themselves with the passion to fight for immigrant justice and defend immigrants who many a times are people like us, people like our family members. So for a lot of us, this is a very personal issue to fight for. And so when we heard what was happening in Allen, we were quick to drop everything and call all of our, you know, constant contacts. When it came to attorneys, right, we're always very grateful to the team over at Raices and Felix for always letting us be, you know, use them to help us out, right? A lot of us translating on site, but we also held a demonstration, right, because we condemn that the actions that that agency is doing with the recent news of the sitting director of DHS stepping down. It's not a celebration. If not, we're being a little bit more precautious because, as we just saw, Trump really said that she wasn't as strict. But, you know, who's to say that caging kids and separating families isn't already strict enough, right? So we're very worrisome of what these next few operations are going to hold in store. If anything, we understand that this might be a glimpse of what the Trump administration has planned for the next few years. So we are very much on our feet and very aware and diligent to do the work that we're doing, whether it's on the ground or online. We need to make sure that we're always taking care of one another to continue to do this work. This raid, as you may have heard, was the largest in a decade. And, you know, it's held by agencies like ICE who are just continuing to terrorize in our immigrant communities. But then also in Texas, we see where there are laws that continue to criminalize immigrants just for simply existing. So our work is very much important oftentimes, and it's like we're very grateful to have partners like Raices and different other organizations, not just in North Texas, but in the state as a whole and nationally with our partners like United We Dream to make sure that we're doing the very best efforts that we can on the ground to do all of this work. And on what happened on Wednesday, right, was obviously very shocking, not just only to us, but you know, we can only imagine what those detained must have been feeling.
Well, let me ask you something about that. I'm interested both in terms of Felix Villalobos and Maria Yoslima Garcia, a little bit about your own backgrounds and how do you understand the ferocity and the ugliness and the condemnation with whether it was Kirstjen Nielsen, who is now stepping down for presumably somebody even more harsh, or Trump, or frankly, too many others of the legislators. What is it about our immigrant brothers and sisters, which is their own families originally, albeit probably not of color, but what do you understand as the politics behind this reactionary, or what you described as terrorism? And I'm interested in both Felix and Maria's, both of your thoughts on this.
I was just listening to Nisim a little bit ago, and where they described President Trump having conversations with Nielsen a couple of weeks ago, and how his strategy was to them was literally, I want you to shut down the southern border within 24 hours. And the response was, well, President, we've talked with legal counsel, and that's not legal. We can't do that. To which President Trump's response was, well, make it happen. And now we see, well, she's not in that post anymore. And that's going to be mind-boggling, because if we kind of see the attitude and the strategies that they're doing, I mean, by now, President Trump and his administration should know everything that you're doing is not legal. Every time you create a new avenue to try and deter immigration, it's taken to district court and courts, and you're stopped. By now, you would think that he would get a clue. He tried to end DACA, that was stopped. He tried to separate families at the border, that was stopped. He tried to group kids out in the middle of the desert in El Paso, that was stopped. So one thing after another, his immigration policies have been shown to be stopped by the courts because they recognize, and this is with judges that are Democrats and Republicans, that what he's doing is not legal and improper, and yet he doesn't stop his attempts. So it's bewildering to kind of see that he continues in this manner when by now he should see that all the processes he's doing are not legal or even proper, or it doesn't benefit the country or anyone else. So why continue in this kind of posture?
Maria?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to echo on some of the statements he just said, right? And it's because a lot of these things that he's trying to do and that the administration is trying to do is rooted simply out of hate. It's just another form of defending white nationalism. It's always just been a direct attack. And to be quite frank, right, we in the state of Texas, you know, it's not just a red state, right? It's just a non-voting state. And because of it, we've just had this continuation of a lot of legislatures that are, you know, upholding just very racist laws that are attacking time and time again. And then when we have federal laws that go into place that are just as dangerous, we see like it's an implication even tenfold here in Texas. And those type of workplace raids are often sensationalized, right, to other people who might see this as a success, right, because you're hearing rhetoric talking about immigrants, you know, just coming in and being criminals and doing all of this. So these raids are so sensationalized into their favor that whatever the administration is doing is working. And if you think about it, right, it comes short of these caravans that have been migrating to the border. So it's helping in some sort of fashion, right, uplift that narrative that they're trying to carry, that all of these immigrants are bad and X, Y, and Z. And so they're using it to their advantage to sensationalize and obviously get whatever policy that the Trump administration wants passed, because they're instilling that type of fear within those voters to see that.
And Felix, what's ahead for the people that are now being held in detention after this raid in Allen, Texas, 280 people?
And some have been released already, but some of them, a lot of them are still being detained.
There's more than 100 being detained, yeah.
The first issue that all of them are going to have, whether they're still detained or released, is financial effect. First of all, I mean, we have to just picture any one family whose family member was detained. Several of these families, they don't all have a mom and dad. It was a mom, and that financial, the money that they were making on these past few days, regardless of how well their budget or how much money they have left over, was directly affected because they were detained. So first of all, their finances were directly affected because their income was hit. Second, for those that had to pay their own bonds are anywhere from $1,500 up to $20,000. And that's money you have to have in cash because there normally aren't bondsmen. So you pay that by money order or cashier's check. So that's liquid funds you need to have available pretty much immediately. Most people, in general, whether you're an immigrant or not, do not have that kind of money that they can simply go pay in bond for an indefinite amount of time until their court case finishes. For those that weren't able to bond out, now they're not only affected because there's a family member that's detained and no longer taking care of their own family, now they also have to resort to seeking out legal counsel, whether it be a nonprofit like the LAISIS or a private immigration attorney, and that's not cheap. That's another expense. An immigration attorney can cost anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. So if you add all that financial angles alone, that's a huge hit for any family that has to debt, and it can take quite a bit of a toll. Throw on top of the finances, the emotional and the psychological effects on any family, on any children, and it can be extremely overwhelming. Now, in some of these families where they only had a mother, they were waiting at school to get picked up by their mom, who didn't show up because the mom didn't even know she was going to be detained, and the children didn't know where the mom was. For these children, who's going to cook food for them? Who's going to be taking care of them? Like, all of a sudden, there's a separation of the parents and the children. It takes time for them to understand what is actually happening, where the mother is. So there's so many effects in an ICE raid and a separation of family that has so many negative effects and consequences. And when you really look at a raid for whatever reason that they believe it's necessary to do the negative effects on all, on the community overall and in individual levels and in families. It's extremely great and not worth doing. My understanding is they have not found in this Irish raid anybody with any kind of extensive criminal history. They were all women. Most of them were mothers. Many of them were providing for other people, and those families were directly affected by this raid.
And Maria, the Dreamers are going to stick with the workers in Allen, Texas. I know that they've been meeting with them over this weekend. And what's the present plans to help them?
Yeah, so what we do is we offer a community of support when it comes to what holds in store for them is obviously ICE check-ins where they have to meet with an ICE officer. And our organization, what we do is we offer our community members to go in solidarity with them to these check-ins to be that type of moral support because, as Felix mentioned, right, some of these are just mothers, so their kids are either, underage and in school and are afraid to step into these type of spaces, especially alone, because you're not only are you navigating, such a very difficult legal system, but you're also having to do it by yourself. So what I was mentioning is solidarity with anybody who needs to be doing ICE check-ins. And what we call them in Spanish is acompañamientos, or just accompanying them to these ICE check-ins to let them know that they're not alone and they have a community that supports them and is willing to stand by their side throughout all of these processes that they're going to have to be doing. And just referring back right to what we did on the ground that Wednesday night, right, of translating paperwork, of being able to, not just refer personal experiences, but, let them know that they have a community because oftentimes it does come with a very emotional trauma that they're bringing, right, because this is such a shocking event to not just only process in that same night, but then have to process what's going to be, what's going to hold in store for them for the future. So we always are there for them to let them know that they have a community always.
And you said the magic word here, future, in so many ways, because we want our sisters, and brothers to have a future here. We want those dreams that people like you have to be realized. And so, Felix, what actually is in store? How long might people be held? What will this process look like for those who have not made bonds? Just to get the full sense of we're talking about working people. We're talking about people who sustain their families and their communities who are now incarcerated. What will it look like for them?
So for a person that is detained and cannot bond out, their life is basically thrown into turmoil. It's not going to end anytime soon, and that's going to have effects in the very long term, even past whatever happens in immigration court. For a person that is detained, their immigration court case is going to happen pretty soon, probably within the next few weeks. And what's going to happen is they're going to be put in front of an immigration judge who's going to ask them, do you have any defenses to me not deporting you? Because if you're in immigration court, you're already on defense. You're already in a situation where you're going to be deported unless you can show me why you should not be deported. So that's the first thing that somebody has to consider is that while they're detained, we have to picture how well can you represent yourself? How well can you gather documentation? How well can you prepare to represent yourself in an immigration court if you are detained? The kind of access to legal resources or documentation, even of your own documents, are extremely limited because you're nowhere near any of those documents. And for a person that's in front of immigration court, it's a very stressful situation. It happens very quickly. And it is very without emotion. Immigration judges are under high pressure to complete cases as fast as they can. You may have heard the phrase rocket docket. Nobody's ever really admitted to it, but in immigration court, that's exactly what it is. A case normally needs to be done within a couple of months from start to end. You're talking about 60 days, 3 months, which would be 90 days. And in reality, very few attorneys have enough time to focus on any one case to bring about a good representation case. For a person that's not detained, they're going to have it for a couple of years. That is enough time to prepare a good case. But for a person that's detained, it's really hard to really prepare a case well enough that a judge can really hear everything that he needs to hear to make a good decision. Now, immigration law in general, it tends to be punitive. It's not the type of system that really helps people that are helping this country in any aspect by being pillars in the community or even being a support economically. It's not set up that way. It's meant to punish people any way it can. Pretty much anything can be used against you. They can find you that by criminal or immigration or medical or even psychological. Any of those can be used to say, no, you're not good enough for this country. We need to send you back. And it's a system that sets people up for failure.
Well, we have about a minute left, although we're going to continue to check in with both Maria and Felix in the weeks and months that come. But most essentially now, in the last minute or so, what can we do to help our sisters and brothers? You saw children separated from parents at the border. What do you think is happening here? What do you think will happen to this community and its breadwinners with the loss of these women? My goodness, 280 people in a workplace raid, professional, hardworking people that build this country, and always have. And we are all immigrants, other than, of course, people who were enslaved and dragooned here, or indigenous people, Native Americans. How much of this land belonged to the Mexicans? Well, that's the story for another session. But right now, what can be done?
I think, first of all, we all need to stand together. The government's strategy is to separate us and make us feel like we cannot be one big family, be united. And that's exactly what we need to counter. We need to work together. We need to represent one another. We need to show the politicians what is right and show it through our voting. We need to protect one another. When one person's rights are affected, we're the next person after that. So we really need to, whether it's financial, emotional, being out there and working with our local communities, we need to be out there and doing what we can to show that support.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but we'll give numbers and information continuously on this most critical situation and to the courage and dignity of people like Maria Yolisma Garcia, who don't even talk about their own fare and their own particular crisis. We commend you. You are indeed our heroes. Maria is the president of the North Texas Dream Team. Felix Villalobos, managing attorney of Raices, the largest immigration legal service provider in Texas. Thank you. Stay strong. And we are with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.